Hello and welcome to another mini episode of The Right Question, a radio program and podcast featuring authors from the American West and beyond. The Right Question is supported in part by Humanities Montana and members of Montana Public Radio, and by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. I'm Lauren Korn, speaking with Chloe Salmon, a director and producer at The Moth, and part of the editorial team behind The Moth Presents, A Point of Beauty, True Stories of Holding On and Letting Go, a collection of stories that offers a shared message. If we look closely enough, we can find power in strengthening frayed bonds, but also in having the courage to walk away from things that no longer feed our spirit. Chloe, thanks so much for being here. Welcome to The Right Question.
Thank you so much for having me.
A Point of Beauty is The Moth's fifth book. How does The Moth team go about curating a book, a written artifact, from stage performances? What are you looking for in those performances that you believe translates well to the page?
Yeah, something that surprised me about the process is how differently stories can play reading them versus hearing them. Mm-hmm. So some stories that were just absolute dynamos on the stage, you know, like hearing the person's voice and envisioning the way that they were moving around on the stage might not translate as well to, you know, the page. And then the opposite, some stories that felt like a little bit more of a quieter presence in audio or maybe didn't quite connect in the same way, I'd read them on the page and be like, oh my gosh, it feels like an entirely new story. And I think the thing that all of the stories have in common is that they kind of have this kernel of the person, the storyteller, that is just really embedded in them, that can translate from a live audio experience also to a written version as well. So you feel like you're still getting a real sense of the person. It feels as if, you know, you might be hearing their voice in your head, even though you're reading it. I feel those are the stories that do best in translating.
Do the storytellers have the opportunity to edit their own written story?
Yeah. So once we kind of had our selection, the person who worked with the storyteller on their story, so Moth director, there's always a Moth director who works with storytellers in the lead up to a live storytelling event. So the director would go through and we would do like a first pass at editing it, kind of light editing in the way of, you know, taking the ums and the ahs out of the transcript. Or sometimes people do funny things where they start a sentence and then in the middle of the sentence, they finish the sentence before, and then just kind of cleaning up. And then we sent those to the storytellers to get their eyes on our edits and also to give them an opportunity to ask if there's any additional edits that they might like to make as well.
How do you view, and I guess when I'm saying you, I mean the Moth creative team, how do you view and how do you talk about the relationship between the stage, which is usually the storyteller, right, and the audience, the listeners? How do you talk about that relationship with your storytellers, with your audience? How do you view that as a team?
That's a great question. So, you know, in any given Moth show, any live Moth show, there's usually a mix of folks who've told their stories before on a Moth stage and who are telling for the very first time. We never have a person tell the story the same in the same city more than once, but sometimes people have told it in a few different places. And I've heard from them, and I've found it to be true as somebody who's been in a lot of audiences as well, that the story really changes depending on who you're telling it to. A crowd in San Francisco is going to feel different than a crowd in Fargo, North Dakota, right? People laugh in different places. They settle in different places. They give responses in different places. They listen differently. And every time I see a story, even if it's the fifth, sixth, seventh time that I've seen this storyteller tell the story, it feels a little bit different depending on where we are in the world. Because every time it's something that's a little bit unique and a little bit magical depending on what the audience is bringing into the space.
From your experience speaking with Moth storytellers before and after their stage performances, I'm curious about how their experiences being Moth storytellers changed the stories that they're telling. How do they view those stories differently after they've kind of produced them for the stage?
You know, I think if they end up telling their story more than once, I've heard from a couple of storytellers that the first time they tell the story, they're like, I don't even remember what I said. They get up there and they're so, it just is such an overwhelming experience. They're often quite nervous. They're being incredibly brave getting up there. And then if they tell it again, that's when they get to settle into it and have a little bit more fun with it in a way, and feel it out in a different way as well. And I've heard from people too, you know, moth storytelling is just one particular style of storytelling, right? Like storytelling's been around for as long as people have been around. And, you know, the moth style of it is a very specific kind of set of parameters, you know, usually centering around a moment of change in the storyteller's life. But I have worked with storytellers in the past that, you know, we start working on a story, and when we start the process, they're like, okay, this is the ending. This is what this story meant to me. And then we get a phone call or two in, or we get a little bit further into the process, and something shifts or clicks, and they realize, oh, this story actually means something really different to me. Or now that I'm talking about it, I'm remembering all these different details and names and places and feelings that I had forgotten about. And it kind of, the story becomes a living thing that changes the more that they work on it. So after they've gone up there and they've told the story, oftentimes it's different from where they started, and they've ended in a place that they weren't quite expecting.
I love that so much. A living story. I want to go back to the book, A Point of Beauty. Another member of the Moth's creative and editorial team, Catherine Burns, wrote the introduction on behalf of the entire editorial team. And she wrote that these stories help us see how we may find beauty in strengthening frayed bonds, but also in having the courage to walk away from things that no longer feed our spirit, in admitting that some things may just not be meant for us. And at times, it's essential to prune dead branches if a tree is going to bloom again in the spring. I don't know that I have a specific question for you, Chloe, but those stories, it seems to me, might be the most difficult stories to tell.
I mean, they can be. Working on a story is such a personal process. I always feel very honored when I'm working with a storyteller that they're choosing to share with me, that they're choosing to share with everybody. It's very vulnerable. And, you know, there are stories that are just a bucket of laughs from start to finish, but there are also a lot of stories that are hard stories, stories from difficult times in people's lives, of when they didn't know the way forward and they felt very lost. And it is interesting to work on those stories with people, because by the time we're working on them, they've gotten a little bit of distance, hopefully, from whatever that they're talking about. And it means something different to them now than it did when they were going through that, you know, tough thing. Mm-hmm. So I think something that I really love about storytelling is that the act of telling a story, the act of working on the story, it's yes, going back to that place where that thing happened, but it's also folding in all of the months or years of time between you and that thing happening, that no longer are you standing in the middle of it, confused and not knowing like which way is forward. You've moved past it, you've gone through it, you've survived it, and now you can look back with a little bit of a different perspective. And so I love working with storytellers in that way, because even in the hard stories, often they've had enough space in their lives to be able to place it in a different context than I think they maybe would have ever thought they could when they were going through it.
Yeah, in a way, the story becomes kind of this compression of time. That resonates with me a great deal. I guess when we're talking about storytelling, I'd like to talk, because this is Montana Public Radio's Spring Pledge Drive, why we should value storytelling, financially even, and the many venues and vessels like the Moth and public radio that provide a public space for that storytelling. Why should we value storytelling?
I mean, big question.
Yeah,
one of the biggest. I mean, for me personally, I think this resonates with a lot of people. There have been so many times that I've listened to a story told by a person who had an experience that, you know, I haven't experienced, or from a background that I'm not familiar with. And by listening to them tell their story and to share their story, there's just like this real sense of shared humanity. And part of our mission is to highlight the diversity and the commonality of the human experience. And I think there's a lot of connections that can be found in stories, even if on the outset, you don't think that would be the case. You know, like I can't really relate to being an astronaut in space and not being able to screw in a screw that's critical to the mission, right? But I can relate to going to work and feeling like I, you know, messed something up and I'm in over my head. And it, even in the extraordinary circumstances, the just the humanity and the relatability that can be found always surprises me. And it also kind of keeps my ears open and keeps my heart open that I'm always listening and finding some part of myself in a story that I might be familiar with, but I also might not be. It just really helps me feel connected to the people that I'm listening to. And I think on the whole, as people, it's very easy to feel disconnected and to be disconnected. And listening to stories from people that you might not ever meet, but really hearing what they have to say, it does. It makes a real difference.
Yeah. I'm reminded of Catherine's introduction again. She quotes the Moth board chair, Ari Handel, who said at an anniversary celebration, when you listen to a person's story told from their vulnerable heart, those walls of difference and indifference crumble just a bit and our basic common humanity shines through.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to listen to a story, to see somebody get up on stage, to be in the room, or if you're listening later on the podcast or the radio, and to hear their voice shake, to hear if they're nervous, to hear their emotions, if they're talking about something hard, to hear their joy, if they're talking about something happy, and not fall like just at least 5% a little bit in love with them. And it really does kind of open you up in a way that you might not have gone into it expecting.
Chloe, the Moth has a long storied history with public radio. Tell me about that relationship, what it looked like in the beginning and what it looks like now.
Yeah, you know, the radio show, the podcast, has been around for a while now. And I wasn't around in the very beginning, but I know that it felt like a bit of a leap, you know, of will this work? It works so well in live spaces. It works so well in the room. Will it work well in just audio, audio only? And I know that it felt at the time like a risk, right? Of will this magic be able to translate? And I think we found again and again that it has. And a huge part of that is these relationships that we've been able to build with public radio stations all over the country and you know, beyond, of being able to again and again say to people, we think that stories are important. We think that it's important for people to be able to hear these, and for different radio stations to say, you know what, we agree, and to put our show out. It's just monumental every single time. So it's a relationship that's really grown from where we started in a sense of uncertainty of whether it would work. And now, you know, we're broadcast all over. A lot of times that's where folks know us from.
Yeah.
We can't have live events everywhere, but people can hear the radio show or the podcast. So yeah, I think it's become a really beautiful partnership.
Absolutely. I know that The Moth for Montana Public Radio is one of the shows in which, you know, people not wanting the driveway moments, right? People not wanting to get out of their car. They want to hear the end of the story. They want to hear how things end. And I feel like there's a sense of closure with each story on The Moth. Does that happen naturally in the process of building these stories with your storytellers?
You know, that's a great question. I think that it does. You know, I like to say, at least when I'm working with storytellers, that not every story has to have a happy ending, but it does have to have an ending, right? Like at the end of the story, it should feel as if we've closed a chapter in some way, or the book has been closed in some way. Even if that some way is a to be continued ... at the end of the book. And so, yeah, I think, as you're working on it with people, and again, it's this sense of time that's passed since they've gone through the experience. The real directive that I give to storytellers when we're working is like, okay, so from the beginning of the story to the end, there's been some shift in your perspective. There's been something that's changed for you.
Right.
And I think the nice thing about that is that then the story kind of naturally arcs around that change. And by the time we get to the end, even if it's not the biggest shift in the world or the biggest change in the world, even if it's something relatively small, if it's true, and if it's something that they really felt, it gives the story that shape and it is able to feel like, okay, we can end now. Even if I know that a million other things probably happened between, you know, the end of that story and now, that at least it can feel like there's a little bit of a period or an ellipsis or something there to kind of close us out.
Chloe, I so appreciate you spending a little time with me today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
That was Chloe Salmon, a director and producer at The Moth and part of the editorial team behind The Moth Presents, A Point of Beauty, True Stories of Holding On and Letting Go, out now from Crown Publishing Group, an imprint of Penguin Random House. The Moth can be heard on Montana Public Radio every Monday at 7 p.m. following All Things Considered. Look for more information about Chloe at mtpr.org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You've been listening to a mini episode of The Right Question. This episode was produced by me. I'm your host, Lauren Korn. Chris Moyles engineered this episode. The artwork for The Right Question was designed by Molly Russell, and our music was written and recorded by John Floridis. Funding for The Right Question is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. Many thanks to Humanities Montana for supporting this program since 2008, and thank you for listening. The Right Question is a production of Montana Public Radio.